This is a very important figure in the kitchen because this is the quality control. So this is the latest stadium that the pizza must pass before arriving to the table. And basically he said, I'm safely talking to you right now because I know that downstairs there's a person that is doing only this.
When your grandfather's a bread baker and your father is a pizza maker, your station in life is usually set, especially if you live in Italy. But Franco Pepe wasn't having it. He loved pizza, but he didn't love being constrained to Neapolitan rules. So he simply opened one of the world's greatest temples of pizza, unbound by tradition, about 90 minutes north of Naples. The story behind Pepe and Grani, straight ahead.
Straight fire pepperoni.
I need a deep dish pepperoni and a thin sausage to go.
Can I get two cheesivores and one Detroit?
Can I get one large pep, one large sausage, and one large pep special?
This is Pizza City, the podcast dedicated to the art, craft, and passion behind the world's greatest pizzas. I'm Steve Dolinsky, author of Pizza City USA, the ultimate Chicago pizza guide, and founder of Pizza City Tours and Pizza City Fest. And welcome, pizza geeks. Great to have you along with us for another edition of Pizza City. Just quick reminders, we've got the Pizza City Fest coming up at the end of April in Los Angeles, April 29th and 30th. Event deck at LA Live, right downtown. 40 pizza makers from all over Southern California, plus seminars and talks. We've got Chris Bianco confirmed along with the producer of Chef's Table Pizza. We've also just added more information about speakers like Andy Caden from Bub and Grandma's. He produces most of the dough for Nancy Silverton. And then Collab Labs that our friend Noel Broner put together, featuring some really exciting bakers and artisans. Tickets now on sale, pizzacityfest.com. I look forward to seeing you all there. Second, we are asking our listeners to please consider supporting us for as little as 99 cents a month. That's less than 50 cents a show, folks. You can do it in three clicks at anchor.fm/pizzacity. That's anchor.fm/pizzacity, and we'll continue working hard to bring you a new show every other Friday. So in the broadcasting business, when it comes to interview guests, there is something called a get. And this week, dear listener, have I got a get for you. The one and only Franco Pepe of Pepe and Grani, located in the village, or is it a town, of Caiezzo, population 5,000. Not easy to get to. It helps to have an Italian food writer friend like Eleonora Cosella paving the way. Grazie mille, Eleonora, for helping me out with this trip. We met in Naples. By the way, she had an event in Rome the night before. She tells me she took a bullet train in about an hour and 5 minutes from Rome to Naples. Later, people from Naples were telling me they go to Rome for dinner sometimes. I had no idea it was that close. We had lunch at Pizzeria da Attilio. Very good, by the way. The owner there has been a guest at Spaccanapoli in Chicago a couple times. Anyway, we took the 45-minute train from Naples to Caserta, then got a ride from the train station to the restaurant about another 25 minutes. You may have seen Pepe featured in the most recent Chef's Table Pizza series. I was so looking forward to this experience. So much anticipation. He converted a building from the 14th century into his Pizza Valhalla, three floors of dining room, kitchen, dough room, tiny B&B upstairs in his eight-seater Authentica, where he's got visiting chefs coming about once or twice a month. In fact, I know some of you were wondering why Nancy Silverton wasn't going to be at Pizza City Fest in L.A., and it's because she will be at Pepe and Grani that weekend getting ready for her dinner that week. Now, as you learn in the Chef's Table episode, he had a disagreement with his family about continuing their pizzeria and wanted to branch out and do his own thing. That meant making the dough by hand, but also going hyper-local when possible for ingredients, and then rethinking flavor combinations, or at the very least, rethinking how they could be applied to dough, sort of like what Ferran and Albert Adria did for years at El Bulli in Spain. Now, Pepe's grandfather had the first license for bread making in Caiezzo in 1930. His father was a pizzaiolo, so it's in his blood. And rather than lead off with my usual opener, which is tell me about your first pizza memory, we all know what that is here. We began our conversation by talking about how Pepe and Grani came to be.
Is Sono arrivato qua con solo 7 ragazzi.
He started his project with just 7 people, and right now there are more than 47. He first began working with his brothers and his father, but then he basically split up with them, and he opened his own concept, his own pizzeria. The two main principles behind his project were the research about materials and the training of the people working here, but at the same time, you were the welcome of the guest to the pizzeria.
Can I ask about his childhood? I know he grew up in the business, but I want to know what his earliest experience or memories of pizza was.
Di solito quando mangiavamo la pizza con papà.
Basic pizza that he used to eat were the one that, you know, that are like the most famous name of the pizza, so the margherita or the marinara, so basic elements like tomato and mozzarella and olive oil that can make a different taste of pizza because it's made by the father, you know. His father pizza was based on the standard used from his grandfather's bread. So it's a different kind of oven, it's a different kind of preparation. So it's not the typical Napolitan pizza where it's very thin at the center and very thick, let's say, very puffy at the on the side. It was just in the middle, you know, so it's like a basic base of pizza cooked in the same oven where he used to cook the bread. So the basic idea behind the kitchen that you find here is different from just imitating the image of Franco Pepe in just one person. So what you find here right now, there are two ovens and there are 13, 14 people that are making one pizza from Franco Pepe. But everyone is doing a different process. Everyone is compulsory to the other figure. So everyone is doing something essential. And it's like one figure, the pizzaiolo, just dividing in 13 people. Mm. So it's not, no one singularly can make the same pizza that Franco makes. So there's not one single person. You see, there are 13 people and everyone is doing something completely different from each other.
Dopo la morte di papà.
When he unfortunately lost his father, he realized that, you know, this kind of work cannot be taken by just one person.
Does that mean that there are specialists now in the kitchen?
There are specialists. Yeah. Ci sono specialisti, cioè professionisti nella cucina.
Che trasformano la materia prima a supporto dei pizzaioli.
So there are even, you know, professional figures that essentially they transform the raw materials for the pizzaiolo.
How long do they have to work in the kitchen before they're actually trusted to make pizza?
Quanto tempo prima devono essere formati prima di poter fare effettivamente una formazione?
Non c'è un tempo, che l'ho detto io.
Everyone has a different time because everyone have different capacity. After the next Netflix presence of Franco, of course, the pizzeria was, you know, like overwhelmed by people and reservation and stuff. But Franco decided to slow down a little bit and close number of people can enter the pizzeria because he wants something like more private, more calm, and no rush. You need to enjoy what he's making.
Concetto più slow.
Concetto slow. Yes.
You don't want 50 people waiting outside in the hallway.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like as a pizza was always been considered as a fast food. Right now he wants to be considered as a slow food. You know, so yeah. It's something you have to enjoy.
Carlo Petrini. Sort of a hushed sort of excitement.
Yeah.
You know, but it's pizza.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're not used to treating pizza like that. I think in the world, right? Anywhere.
Yeah.
Okay, we go upstairs.
Yes. All right. This is one of the first, the other rooms that we have, and it's called Gustarte, because it means basically taste the art. So you can taste the pizza on the small table of 8 people, but at the same time you also admire photographies and art on the wall. So it's like an intimate place when you can taste and see.
Well, the smell, first of all.
Yeah,
l'odore, right? There's the yeast. There's activity in here.
L'odore del lievito, dell'attività.
Sono 4-5.
4-5 people. They are making the whole pizza dough every day.
Can you just for people who can't see this, kind of describe where we are and what's here?
Qui ci sono le madi in legno.
They are the wooden boxes where they all the pizza dough are made. So with the flour and yeast and water.
Qui non.
There's not technology at all. There's the only energy you find is the men.
Braccia
arms.
E mente. braccia,
arms and mind.
Is he using a natural starter or is it a commercial yeast?
Pasta di riporto.
The yeast is not, I mean, the mother yeast is not used. A part of the dough is used to make other parts, the next part of the dough, but it's not the lievito madre, the one that they use. This is a specific blend of flour made especially for Franco. It's not in commerce, no one can find it and no one can buy it. It's made just for him and it's called Zero Pepe.
How did this happen? How long did it take him to get a company to make this for him?
Io ci ho messo 20 anni.
20 years.
That's all 20 years?
Only 20 years.
La pizzeria di mio padre.
His father was the one teaching him to mix up the flours, and when he first arrived in 2012, he created his own mix.
And everything is mixed by hand with water to begin?
Everything is made by hand.
One day to ferment?
Well, 24 hours, okay. Un giorno, no, per la lievitazione.
Sì, sì, sì.
He works always with wood.
75%.
75% of water.
Questa è un'altra sala dove...
This is another room where it actually has something very specific. So all the people here, since they are not, the ovens are downstairs, but he wants to give the possibility to everyone to see what's going on in the kitchen. So this is the area where you can see what is going on because they are projecting on the wall. Like the camera, the live camera from the kitchen.
That's unbelievable. That is such a cool thing. So yeah, we're on the second floor. We're far from the oven and the kitchen, but everybody can see on the large, and it's got to be probably 6 feet tall by 8 feet wide, roughly, screen on the wall. It's just a projection, and that's the kitchen, and you can see the line. You can't really see, you can see the oven man just on the outside, yeah.
2015, he enters the Louvre for the first time, and he decided to make his own project, investing even more in another room, and this is the room we are entering right now. And he basically set up the wine list, 125 different wines from different countries, and Italy, especially Italy, and investing even more in training people and professionalism. Right now we have sommelier as well, that combine food and wine.
Coming up, a visit to Authentica, the world's smallest pizzeria that takes the omakase experience and translates it to pizza. Plus, we'll preview our next show from Naples, coming up in 2 weeks, so stay with us. We begin our second half up on top of the restaurant on the third floor, which Pepe has turned into a small two-room inn, combined with his tiny 8-seat chef's tasting experience called Authentica.
This is the most private part, so here not everyone can get access to because there are also the rooms, but there are also the Belvedere, which is the terrace. You can see basically the whole Caiazzo from here. And then there is Authentica, which is the last pizzeria.
You know, I was sort of joking, but the house, it does just keep, this is all new, this is added on up here, we just keep building up and up and up?
Yes, I mean, wow. Stava scherzando, però these are the most exclusive places during summer because everyone is like fighting to get the table here.
How do they get the table? How do they?
Calling and ask for it. If you like the first arrives, then the first enjoy it.
Okay.
So he created also the space where the guest can spend a night or two nights and just rest a little bit, especially because there are people coming from very far away. So he wants to give you, you know, more comfort and more relax as well.
Qui un'offerta diversa, un concetto diverso, con sacchi pure acusticamente.
There's a complete different concept here, so you forget about the pizzeria, you forget where you are because you close the door, you switch on the radio, and you basically close yourself outside, you know.
How many rooms are here?
Just two.
Oh.
Solo due stanze.
Mi dispiace, sono già occupate, se no ce le facevo vedere.
I'm sorry that they are occupied right now, so we can't show it to you, but...
But it's like an Airbnb for pizza.
It's like... Last but not least, regarding Authentica, so this is the smallest pizzeria in the world. There is just one oven, one bench, and 8 places where people can sit down and enjoy the real contact with the pizzaiolo. So there's not a kitchen behind or a kitchen between the people. There is not a waiter between the pizzaiolo and the clients, but it's just the two of them getting in contact, explain the story of the pizza, tasting the pizza together, and enjoying the whole area together.
This is called Authentica?
Authentica.
Okay. He really likes, he's an audiophile, he likes
yes.
his music, it looks
yes.
like, yes?
Exactly. exactly. I mean, everything is, you know, every detail is important, and every little things must be in place, you know?
This is a cool room. Wow. All right, so talk about this. So there's a curved table here with 8 seats, and there's an oven behind. This is almost like, I think of a Japanese kaiseki or omakase, but this is for pizza, yeah?
Exactly. It's exactly the same mentality, basically. So it's applied, a different concept is applied to the pizzeria, which is something new, you know, because pizzeria usually is just tables and waiter, and inside the kitchen there's a pizzaiolo. Now it's a complete different concept. So here you can enjoy not just the pizza, you can enjoy the story behind the pizza, you can enjoy the story behind Pepe and Grani, you can enjoy Franco Pepe in person. A lot of chefs were, you know, like very attracted by this kind of concept, this kind of Authentica concept. So most of them, they just came to Authentica just to work with him, closely to him, and use his dough or his elements and ingredients to make something new. So every month we have at least one or two Michelin star chefs that come here nationally and internationally, and they cook together with Franco using his dough and mixing up all the ingredients and the knowledge about kitchen with him to create something unique that will never be repeated before.
I know there are people listening to this who are going to want to try to come to one of these. Yes. How will they go about doing that and pursuing like one of these 8 seats?
Every month we communicate it through social media, like everything that is going on in the pizzeria, through the pages of Franco, in all the platforms. We give the chance to people to click on the link and go directly to our website. Their website is pepeandgrani.it, and just really Italian. There's the Authentica page, and on the Authentica there is the date with that they can book and the link that they can click to send a request.
I want to ask about the toppings. So we talked about the flour downstairs, yes, right, and the fermentation process a little bit. Can you talk about, I know he probably is so passionate about farmers, suppliers, everything that goes on top. Can you talk a little bit about how he approaches toppings? And I'm sure he thinks seasonally, but does he think really hyper-local too?
So the project is based in Cagliasso, in Campania, because he loves the territory and his land, and he will always be working with all the local farmers, so that's for sure. But at the same time, the numbers that we are making in this pizzeria, they are very, very high, and most of the time the small producer cannot satisfy completely the demand that there is from the clients. And that's why sometimes used to talk also with regional or national producers so they can increase the quantity, but respecting the quality of the food. So very, very careful about keeping up with a good quality.
I know, I remember from watching the series, there was this deconstructed margarita he does. Can you talk about some of the other creative spins he puts on? Because typically, I mean, 99.9% of the pizzerias in the world, it's like, it's got sausage or prosciutto or vegetable, but he thinks differently about how he approaches it. Yeah,
he's gonna show you a couple of videos so you can sit down.
A training video, I'm gonna get okay.
Training video, yes.
Okay, all right. Pepe cues up a 3-minute video that looks like it was shot by someone at chef's table. Slow-mos, pans, great pizza, and ingredient porn. There is no dialogue, just one sumptuous shot of a farm or ingredient or Pepe himself indulging in one of the above. I noticed there was a quick shot of a gentleman checking the undercarriage of the pizza. Very important. Can you talk about how difficult and how important to train consistency in a staff?
This is a very important figure in the kitchen because this is the quality control. So this is the latest stadium that the pizza must pass before arriving to the table. And basically he said, I'm safely talking to you right now because I know that downstairs there's a person that is doing only this. So this specific figure controls the quality of the pizza. So he's looking up on the bottom of the pizza and he's cleaning it from a specific duster that probably can take from the oven.
What does he think about time and temperature? I know that's important when you're fermenting, but what about baking? One of the things we're seeing in America now, in fact, a chef from Caserta, Daniele Uditi, bakes in wood oven, but a little bit lower temperature and a little bit longer, so he gets a firmer crust. I'm curious what he thinks about that.
Okay. Ah, okay. He knows very well Daniele, yeah, and it's no, like, it's something that a lot of people uses. Different temperatures can give different identity to the pizza. Mm-hmm. As well.
Al di là di questo, del...
Something very important about making a pizza, as you fairly said, is not just about the dough, but it's also the ingredients on top. Whenever you put a pizza in the oven, you must consider the temperature, because somewhere is 400 degrees Celsius, of course, and somewhere else is 380, somewhere other place, other area might be even higher, but the ingredients that you're putting on top of pizza, they are all different, and as such, they need a different temperature and a different cooking methods, and that's why we can't really give at the same time for all the ingredients and all the pizza. So some of the pizza might be baked for 60 seconds at 400 degrees, some other pizza might be baked for 2 minutes for probably and at, I don't know, at 300 degrees. So it's always compared to what you're using and what kind of healthy nutritional facts you want to keep on those ingredients that you're using, and that's how you bake it. So, you know, the calzone, mm-hmm. which is basically, I mean, there's the ingredients are inside and the dough is outside. It cannot have the same temperature and the same baking method of the pizza, or the marinara, or the margherita.
Has his philosophy or ideas about baking pizza changed in the last 10, 11 years?
Never changed anything in his method and his philosophy, because even right now, for example, as his father used to do, he put the dough on the wooden...
Peel?
Peel.
Yeah.
On the wooden peel, and then he prepare all the ingredients on top and he bake it.
How much pressure, or does he feel any pressure or weight on his shoulders to carry on his family's tradition, even though what he is doing is very different than what they started?
He said it is a very important step and a very important thing for him, especially because his job has always been an evolution of what has been done before. So he's mentally concentrating on this. So he's keeping the tradition, but also put innovation, technology, scientific approach, and evolving, basically, in the pizzeria.
So people, when they think of Italian pizza, they think of tomato sauce, mushrooms, maybe prosciutto.
Yeah.
Can you talk about some of the ingredients people might not realize that he likes to put on pizza?
He basically went against all kind of traditions, because especially in Italy, you know, we always say that we don't use fruit on top of pizza.
Right.
While basically that's exactly what he did. So he took this apricot from Vesuvio, and it's very close to this city, and he put it on top of fried pizza. Something that if you hear this kind of this kind of ingredients, you say that doesn't match. But then you see it and you smell it and you taste it, and then you change completely your mind. And as well as, for example, the pineapple on top of pizza. I mean, in Italy, no one will tell you you can use pineapple on top of pizza, but Franco did, and everyone loves him. So it's a completely different kind of elements, but on top of something that it was taken for granted, you know, that it was salad.
So he has an open mind about everything.
Completely open mind. Yeah. I mean, as long as his creativity can lead to something new and tasty and healthy. He also tends to create recipes that contain those kind of elements whenever he's sure about this quantity. So, for example, there are the apricot is used just for one dessert, or for example, this specific kind of tomato is used only for two pizzas, not for all of them. So whenever there is not enough quantity, then there are less pizza that are made with this. Most important thing is that he's always very, very close to the tradition, especially because of his father and his grandfather, of course, and the territory. But at the same time, he wants to be revolutionary in this sense. So he also took all the recipes about the margherita, about the marinara. Those are, you know, the most famous pizzas in the world. And he completely didn't change the ingredient. He changed the method that are used to produce those kind of pizza, or to put together those elements.
Pepe cues up another video, this one about the capricciosa, a pizza typically made with artichokes, ham, capers, and olives. It illustrates a traditional version where you place ingredients on dough and then bake in a wood-fired oven. Then it shows a very different version with ingredients that have been transformed through slow roasting or pulverizing or air drying, then baked in an electric oven. It's quite stunning, almost like pizza art.
The difference between the old capricciosa and the one created by Franco is not the ingredients. The ingredients are completely the same. It's just the method that completely changed, because originally, like on the capricciosa, like all the ingredients were just put together on top of the dough, and that's all. And then everything goes in the oven. But as we said before, each ingredient has a different temperature.
Cooking time,
thank you. A different cooking time. And that's why now he made a revolution about the method, because he cooked separately each ingredient with a different method.
And you're talking artichokes, olives, capers?
Ham, tomatoes, mushrooms.
Mushrooms, okay. So he's the Ferran Adrià of pizza.
Is that?
Ferran Adrià della pizza.
Because he reimagined these ingredients,
yes.
Right? The tomato is not a tomato sauce. It's a tomato paper,
yeah,
that is applied like prosciutto. Reinventing it, rethinking it, but the flavors are there, but
yeah,
it's presented differently. Yeah.
His job was basically to separate ingredients that are more hydrated compared to the one that contain less water, percentage of water. So the one that contained more water, he put it in the oven first, he cooked it first, and he used different methods. The others, like for example, you saw the artichokes, the mozzarella and ham, goes directly in the oven, and then he puts it together.
Franco, grazie mille.
Che ne pensi di questa idea di progetto?
What do you think about this project? This idea, this project?
I think it's all just brilliant. I mean, I've talked to so many pizzaiolos over the last 5 years. No one thinks about pizza like this.
È una cosa unica e brillante, perché ho parlato con un sacco di altri pizzaioli nel mondo e nessuno ha mai avuto un'idea del genere.
I mean, Chris Bianco thinks like this in terms of quality of ingredients, like he does, sourcing the right places, but no one takes that creative next step, which is why I think of Adrià.
Yeah, e dice che Chris Bianco ha lo stesso tipo di mentalità, no, nel voler mettere.
Well, that was fantastic. Hope you guys enjoyed that little trip through the restaurant. Just such an interesting place. Put it on the bucket list. Make it a point to get there. Coming up in 2 weeks, we're staying in Naples to visit a fifth generation pizzeria and restaurant that opened for business in the same place it is today in 1916.
I think it was natural for them, because each of them grew up and actually no one wanted to make something different in life. So it's like it's in their veins, you know. They grew up making pizza and they want to do it all of their life.
We'll talk to the latest generation of owners at Gorizia 1916. That's in 2 weeks on March 17th. Remember to subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. Tell a friend and rate us, please. Also, reminder to support the show at anchor.fm/pizzacity. We're at Pizza City USA on Instagram, and our website is pizzacityusa.com. Bureaucratic wrote and performed our theme song, and here's wishing you an optimal bite ratio always.